Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the fourth Sunday of Lent, fourth Sunday, Laetare Sunday, that we rejoice here that what God has done for us, who God is in our own hearts, who God is and what he's done for his people. Let us give him thanks today and rejoice that he died for us. You can never say, I am unimportant. You never can say, I'm insignificant. You have a God who died for you, and he knows you by name. He knows every one of us by name. He knows you. The first book of Samuel on this Laetare Sunday. The Lord said to Samuel, this is chapter 16. It's a mix. It's verse 1, then 6 and 7, and then 10 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons. As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is here before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees, does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any one of these. Then Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse replied, well, they're still the youngest, who he's out tending the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here. Jesse sent and had the young man brought to him. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. And the Lord said, there, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. Brothers and sisters, how much do we go by appearance? Age. Who is it that God wants? When we're doing something that's important, God, what do you want here? It may be exactly what we were hoping for, and it might be the total opposite of what we are hoping for. Ask the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek what would please the Lord. And the psalm for today is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. It was the first psalm I memorized. I love that Psalm 23. Used to say it in the car riding with my mother wherever we were going, but I'd say Psalm 23 as a child because I loved it. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. Oh, brothers and sisters, what God wants for us is beyond our imaginations, really. Trust him, even when he takes you through dark valleys, and he does. Trust him. In the letter of Paul to the Ephesians says, brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you're light. Live as children of the light. For light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Ask for light in your life. During this serious season of Lent, brothers and sisters, ask him. Ask him, what would you have me do, Lord? How can I follow you more closely? How can the light of life be reflected in my life? Ask him. And then we look at the gospel for today. And this gospel is truncated because it is so very long. It's like 41 verses, and I don't think I can get through all of that. But I can give you the highlights. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. Read the whole gospel. Read it. And I'm going to accentuate some points that I think are important. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, smeared the clay on his eyes, and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" And he replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." See, that's where you're looking for the rule. God has done a miraculous thing here. Lord, what do you want? Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son who was born blind? How does he now see?" And his parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We don't know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents had said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." And he replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." And the man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout," which means seeking repentance for sin, "if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin. Are you trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. The one who had been healed, they threw him out, putting the law, so to speak, before the work of God. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him. And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking to you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." Jesus is taking every opportunity to speak to us, every way through the scriptures to speak to us. Don't be paying attention to what other people do or don't do. Look at yourself. Seek forgiveness for your sin. Seek to grow in virtue, and the light of Christ will work through you. We're not perfect, but seek Him. This Lent is a wonderful time to take a look at what in your life is not pleasing to God, or what could be more pleasing to God. And it doesn't mean the more works that you do, the better you are. It's simply get to the core. What is it in me that's selfish? Is it a friend I need to forgive? Is it something between husband and wife that I need to deal with, that I have my part in? Is it that I am a child in my family's home? I want to do what I want to do, but I'm of an age, I'm at least 12 years old, and I have a good idea of what's right and wrong, but I just want to do what I want to do. This is not following God. You want to do what God wants. Not because it will hamper you or hinder you. It will, in fact, free you. But, well, I just want to do what I want to do. But God put you on this earth for a purpose. He wanted you to love Him and to follow Him and to bring as many others with you to the kingdom of heaven. So take a look at yourself. Take a look at your own heart. Take a look at the sins that are perhaps more paramount in your life than you want them to be. Take a look. And don't tackle them all together. Just tackle them one at a time. There's usually two or three things that we're always doing that make other people angry, or it's painful, or they don't want us around because we do this or that. Can't we give up that habit? Can't we seek reconciliation? Brothers and sisters, live as much as you can in harmony with one another. And where you fail, this is the season, especially all seasons are possible, but this season is especially set aside to take an inventory of your life. Who are you and where are you going? You don't want to come to the last day and then you're scrambling. You might not even be coherent at that day. Brothers and sisters, now is the time, because I pray with all my heart that I might follow the Lord's will and see Him in heaven. And I want all of us who listen to this program to meet in eternal life. I want you to know Him and love Him and serve Him. And I'm right with you, knowing Him, loving Him, and seeking to serve Him more. Brothers and sisters, that's what we want to do. This life is only preparation for the life to come. There are many things that you might want in this life, but God gives you what you need. Seek that and open your heart to the gifts that He wants to give you. He loves you. And I pray that together we may all see one another in heaven. May God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.